Make sure you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider. Hit that subscribe button and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
All things are possible for one who believes. That is such a joyous statement, isn't it? There was no impossibility for Jesus, whose trust in his Father was absolute. Everything was possible, even the salvation of sinners and the defeat of Satan.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of St. Mark.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. They'd seen Jesus shine in glory on the mountaintop. They'd seen Moses and Elijah standing with him. They'd heard the voice of the Father declaring Jesus the beloved Son and telling them to listen to him. Then, as they climbed down the mountain, Jesus told them to keep mum about all this until after his resurrection. And that must have confused the disciples because they want to know about the timeline, the sequence of events. What about Elijah returning at all? Jesus told them, recall, that Elijah already did show up. But instead of being so obsessed on Elijah, they should be thinking about how it is written that the Son of Man should suffer many things and be treated with scorn. He's inviting them to put together that in him, the prophecies about the glorious messianic kingdom and the suffering servant, they meet together. And he finally made it clear that St. John the Baptist was the one meant as coming in the spirit of Elijah. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy. And he fell on the ground and rolled about foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." St. Mark 9, verses 14 to 29. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you came among us to destroy the works of our old evil foe, and you did so by your suffering, death, and resurrection. We pray that your Holy Spirit would work mightily in us through your word and put to flight the snares and temptations of our adversaries. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So you ready to dig into the word for today? Let's get to it. Verse 14. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. Verse 15, and immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And verse 16, and he asked them, what are you arguing about with them? So Jesus comes down the mountain with the favorite three to find his disciples in the middle of an argument with the scribes. But his very presence disrupts the disagreement, and the crowd who had been listening to the back and forth, they're greatly amazed. They leave the disciples and the scribes to run up to Jesus and greet him. Why were they amazed? Well, it's one of the recurring themes in St. Mark's gospel, the amazement, the wonder, which Jesus' very presence produced on the crowds. But Jesus asks his disciples what occasioned the squabble with the scribes this time. Before they can apparently give him an answer for themselves, a voice shouts out from the crowd. Verse 17. And someone from the crowd answered him, Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. Verse 18. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. So it's a safe bet, I think, that the scribes and the disciples were arguing about why they were impotent, about being able to help this lad. Perhaps the scribes had said, see, you're nothing but a bunch of frauds. And the disciples came back with, are not. And then the scribes said, are so, back and forth. But meanwhile, the boy who suffered so was not helped. The description, of course, sounds like what we'd call epilepsy, but the evangelist clearly attributes the affliction to an unclean spirit, as we'll hear. Verse 19. And he answered them, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. Verse 20. And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy. And he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. St. Peter Chrysologus, that great 5th century bishop of Ravenna in Italy, said, though it was the boy who fell on the ground, it was the devil in him who was in anguish. The possessed boy was merely being convulsed, while the usurping spirit was being convicted by the awesome judge. Verse 21. And Jesus asked the Father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, verse 22, and it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I love that Jesus stopped to ask, how long? I think it shows his great compassion. How long has this thing been afflicting the child? From childhood, I take to mean since he was a toddler. And note that the lad's father observed how often the spirit afflicted the child near fire or near water as if to destroy him. Humans may be the parasite's home, but they bear no goodwill toward the host. They're intent on destruction. The father asks for Jesus' compassion and his help, but he adds that fatal if. Maybe because he was discouraged by the disciples' inability to do anything. Verse 23. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Verse 24. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus doesn't like that if at all, and he challenges the father on it. All things are possible for one who believes. That is such a joyous statement, isn't it? There was no impossibility for Jesus, whose trust in his Father was absolute. Everything was possible, even the salvation of sinners and the defeat of Satan. In answer to Jesus' rebuke, the father spoke words of anguish that every disciple of Jesus has repeated after him through the centuries. Lord, I believe. help thou mine unbelief. He knew he had faith that Jesus could heal. I mean, that's why he brought the child to him in the first place. But he also had fear that maybe even he couldn't help this bad case, or fear that maybe he wouldn't. He does the right thing. He confesses both his faith and his unbelief, asking Jesus to help strengthen his faith. Verse 25. And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Verse 26. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." Verse 27. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Jesus had been greeted by the crowd. I take it that we have to understand that he'd likely led the father and the boy away from the crowd to deal with them privately. But when the spirit assaulted the child so violently, the crowd ran back over where they were going to see what was going to happen. But Jesus just tells the spirit to be gone and to stay gone, never enter him again. And then there was a loud cry and a terrifying shaking, followed by an even more terrifying stillness. Was he dead? Jesus' hand lifts the boy up, and they see he's actually just calm, not dead at all. He's free now. Verse 28. And when they had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." When they want to know what happened, why they, who had driven out demons aplenty before, were impotent in the face of this one, Jesus' answer teaches us that not all devils are created equal. Some have a more tenacious hold on the human host and cannot be driven out as easily as others. And he says that what enables even these tough cases to be dispensed with is prayer. And most ancient manuscripts add fasting. Prayer and fasting are just often joined together in the scriptures. That is, to live in that prayerful, nonstop communion with God, and to be eating not the kind of food the disciples were worried about in the boat, but feasting on the words and promises of God, living from them. That's what equipped one for spiritual battle against the enemy. And I think that maybe suggests that the disciples were tempted to forget that it was an alien power that needed to work through them. It was not something that arose from themselves. Jesus didn't give that authority over the demons to them as something they could possess. It was something they always had to receive through their communion with him. Up next, Jesus will resume his catechesis with the 12 on what awaits in Jerusalem. And thus, he tried to keep his presence hush-hush so that he could devote his important time to getting through to the disciples what is about to take place, what they will witness, what it will all mean. But they will not get what he's saying, and they'll be too afraid to ask, I assume, because no one wanted to show their ignorance in front of another. No one wanted to be the first to say, "I just don't get it." But they soon move onto a much more interesting topic to them at any rate. Which of them is really the greatest, the big cheese, the most important, the chief? They argue about it as they walk along. But when they arrive at Capernaum, Jesus will ask them to disclose their conversation, and they'll stay silent, perhaps embarrassed about it. But he knows anyway. He always does. He'll give them a lesson then in the way the kingdom works. Upside down, the greatest must be last and servant of all. And that, of course, is exactly who he is, the greatest. He'll take the place of the least precisely so that he can reach us his very greatness. Till next time, folks, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.